can't tell if the chemistry's good by looking at it. It wasn't clear yesterday. For the last time, the saltwater pool is a chlorine pool.
This is the Talking Pools Podcast with pool pros from every region in the country. If it happens in a pool, you'll hear about it here. Everything from tips and hacks to the latest tricks and trends. Breaking news, we lay it on the line. We tell it like it is because we think you deserve to know.
Story of a man named Rudy.
Welcome to Thursday at CPO Thursdays here at the Talking Pools Podcast, and you know the deal. If you are looking for a CPO certification class, go to my website, cpoclass.com, click on the CPO certification schedule page. That'll bring you to the listing of our virtual and in-person classes. You can take one face-to-face or from anywhere in the world as long as you have an internet connection. If you are looking for additional training materials, go to that same website, cpoclass.com, click on the CPO practice test tab. That'll bring up a whole bunch of different things that you can look at to make sure that you are in the best possible shape going into a CPO certification class, or you could use it for training for your team members, either they're going to the CPO class or not. Even as a refresher for yourself, why not? It doesn't hurt. We all forget things from time to time. Take a look at that page. I have flashcards. We have a practice test. There's some downloads that you can take advantage of. There's also some links to some free classes. Some are at a fee, but it's a nominal fee. But check them out anyway. It's definitely worth taking a look. Right now, as always, gonna go get my coffee. You do the same. We'll be back in a minute and we'll talk about hot tubs. Entrapment. That's a big deal in a spa. That's the reason for the Virginia Graham Baker Act is a public spa. Virginia Graham Baker was a seven-year-old girl. She went to a party at a public pool, got into the spa, sat down onto the main drain grate, and got stuck. And the parents, the people that were there with her, could not get her out. And she drowned. That's who the law is named after. It went into effect December 19th, 2008, signed into law by President George W. Bush, who said there would be no body of water, no recreational body of water in this country that would be considered safe unless it met the specific code. And again, the different types of entrapment, body, that's your torso. Limb would be an arm or a leg getting stuck to the grate. Hair entrapment, the most common form of entrapment. Mechanical entrapment, that's something that's on you getting stuck that's not you, like a bathing suit, a watch, a bracelet, a hair tie, something along those lines. Evisceration, that's disembowelment, actually remove someone's intestines from their bottom. Those people don't usually survive that. Hyperthermia, overheating, that's a concern. Then we also have a larger concern with diseases. The scariest disease that we could face when we're dealing with a spa.
Not the crypto, that weird ass G-I-A-R-D-I-A one.
It's not the weird ass G-I-D-A one. It's not crypto. It's worse. Crypto won't kill you. Crypto will give you horrible diarrhea.
E. coli.
Worse than that. Cryptosporidium. Who are you in the spa with? No, not hepatitis. The big concern is Legionella, Legionnaire's disease. That is one of the most lethal things that we deal with
as far as waterborne illnesses go, it's a bacteria. But the way you contract this is by inhaling contaminated mist. It's in the air, but unless it's in contaminated mist, it's not a problem. You're not going to get ill from it. Swimming pools are usually not as much of an issue because they just don't simply have the turbulence in the water, unless you're something like a huge grotto or something along those lines. I mean, you really have to have a feature on it that tosses water in the air and creates this mist for it to be an issue. But spas, when the blower's going, to get sick, you don't even need to get in the water. All you need to do is walk past it.
Wow.
First reported case of Legionella, 1976, Philadelphia.
How do you spell Legionella?
Legionella.
Okay.
Take a look at that. Where are my lifeguards at again? My paramedics, my rescue folks?
Here.
All right. Take a look at that spa. That is a good looking spa. That's what a spa looks like when it's in good shape. It's just operating. That's all there is to it. So you are a trained professional, right? This is your gig. This is what you do. If you were standing on the deck, or even from this photo, can you tell me, is there a body in the bottom of that spa?
Nope, can't tell.
You can't tell. And that's what it's supposed to look like. That's scary, isn't it? Then consider, when you're sitting in a spa, no matter where you sit in this spa, what's right at your feet?
Main drain.
Exactly. And how far above the water is your head? Probably about the same as if you were standing in 5 foot of water for most of us, right? It's not even in the shallow end. You're right there. And we spoke about the turnover rate. Once every 30 minutes, 48 turns a day, that water's booking and you are right on top of the drain. Spas can be scary. Overheating, hyperthermia is also a problem. This is why they want you to limit the amount of time you're in a spa to 15 minutes. That's why they put the controls for the blower just far enough away that you can't reach it while you're sitting in the spa. They want to trick you into getting out so that way you can turn the bubbles back on, so you cool off just a little bit before you get back in. They want to make sure, and I know only one of you is getting out and you're going to just turn it on and get back in, but they want to make sure at least one of you remains conscious to call the paramedics when the rest of them are cooking in that people's soup. You could go to get up and your legs get rubbery, and you just plop back down in place. Sometimes people just slip under the water. It's one of the reasons they don't recommend drinking while you're in a spa. Is because spas make you sleepy, so does drinking. Now you got double the sleepy going on, and you put yourself at a greater risk.
That is actually one of the leading causes for most of the drowning calls that I get back home in my area.
And what is that? Say it specifically. Drinking?
Drunk idiots and teenagers deciding they want to go swimming after hours.
Wow.
It's scary, and it happens all across the country. If you have a pool, a public pool, somebody has jumped the fence and used that pool in off hours. Indoor pools, okay, maybe not so much, but it still happens there as well, I guarantee it. And if it hasn't happened to yours yet, it will. But outdoor pools, I don't know. When I was 17, I don't think an 8-foot fence could have stopped me. It gets a little scary. There was up in... We talk about this when we talk about cloudy water a lot, and this deals with a pool, not necessarily a spa, but it does focus on visibility, which here we have none. Up in Massachusetts, this was at a public pool. It was a Veterans Memorial's park where this pool was, and they were getting ready to open it for the season, but they still had a couple of weeks to go. So they decided, in order to beef up their budget and save a little bit of money so they could have money for other things, they would shut it off. Stop treating it chemically, stop running the equipment. And they let it go a couple of weeks like that. And then 5 days before opening, they decided they'd start it back up again. They did treat it chemically, and it was enough to make the green go away, because guess what? June in Boston area is still hot. It was enough to make the green go away, but the water was milky white. They decided to open anyway and had the blessing of their health official who signed off on the pool before they did. People had a great time at that place on that weekend. The next day, the pool service company came out, serviced the pool as normal. They didn't recommend that they close the pool, even though the water was still milky white. The next day, the health department, the health official, the same health official came back out just to do a reinspection, which I guess is part of their protocol. They have to sign on off on a pool to open for the season, and they come back a few days later to make sure it's still going well. And when they came back out, again, water's still milky white. They signed off on it, good to go, and actually said the water couldn't look better. Later that night, to Mike's example, a couple of kids jumped the fence. Six pack of beer, we're going to hang out at the pool. The police received a phone call somewhere around 2 a.m. from one of the kids because the body they estimated had been underwater for 2 days, which I think they say it takes about 2 days for a body to float, had surfaced while they were there. So during that weekend, when the pool opened on opening day, when that pool was crowded, this person bumped their head. And when they went back and looked at the footage, they could see them slip under the water. Nobody noticed it. And they just never came back up. Now, if that water was clear, there's still the risk the person could have drowned after bumping their head. But there's a much, much better chance that somebody could have seen them versus looking at milky water. So the way the rest of the investigation went is that pool was closed, and so was every other pool in the area that that health official and that health department, that sector of that health department, inspected until they could be reinspected and reopened by somebody else. The person that did the inspection and I believe their immediate supervisor were both released ultimately. But cloudy water is no joke. It is a huge contributing factor to drowning deaths. Lack of visibility. There's also a trend among teenage girls with spas who like to do handstands over the main drain grate in spas because they like the way it makes their hair feel. Seriously, scary stuff. So you could go with a safety cover that locks in place when it's not in use, but to be honest with you, they're going to pry it off. They will destroy it to get in. And you know that.
Yeah.
Make sure you're VGBA compliant. If you have a cutoff switch for your spa, make sure it's operational. Make sure it sounds an alarm and make sure every member of this team at your facility knows what that alarm sound means. Nobody should have to go outside to see what that noise was. When you hear it, you pick up the phone, you call 911. If it's a prank, tough, cost of doing business. You hear the sound, you call 911. Because that means, to me, somebody got stuck to the grate.
Wow.
We keep the temperature at 104 or lower. And again, no more than 15 minutes in the spa. You have to stay up on top of your water chemistry. It's going to change rapidly. You have a small body of water that a lot of people get in, and you're heating it. It's like a greenhouse effect for bacteria, isn't it? We talked about turbulence yesterday. What does turbulence do to your water chemistry?
Raises the pH.
Yeah, it raises the pH. What's less effective with a higher pH?
Chlorine.
And chlorine also tends to gas off at high temps. So if you have a spa and you're treating it with chlorine and it's outdoors, you should be treating it with chlorine. Your chlorine's going to gas off quicker, so it's going to be harder to maintain a level. Your pH is going to be higher because of the turbulence, which is going to make the chlorine that is still there less effective. You cannot get away with owning a spa and simply just testing the water once a day. It may be all your state requires, but these things need to be tested as frequently as possible. The more you test it, the better control of the water chemistry you're going to have, and the less of a chance of somebody becoming ill. Now, if you're a service company, I get it. You're going to be there 3 times a week. You're going to test it then. You're going to have that conversation with the facility manager. Remember, I said anyone, and double check your health department code. And if you're not sure, still ask your health official. But in most states, anyone who can read a test kit, anyone who can use a test kit, can test the water in a public pool and write down the results. And again, if you're a service person, that person should also be permitted to call you and say, hey, guess what? Everything's off. Get your ass down here. I mean, maybe they can say it nicely. Please get your ass down here and fix it. But I mean, you got to keep in mind when you do service at a commercial facility, you're on call. Whether it's a spa or a pool, you're on call. You could get a call on the weekend. It could be after hours and you're expected to respond. You're not expected to do it for free. I mean, maybe some of them expect you to do it for free, but you are expected to respond.
They all expect you to do it for free.
They do, but they ain't getting it for free, are they?
No, they never do.
No, don't give in to that. Once you start a trend, you're stuck. Don't give nobody nothing for free.
Are they requiring any type of automation on spas as far as chlorine and pH go?
That is a fantastic question, and most state codes do require that automation for disinfectant and pH are in place. Yes. So if you
I've never actually seen that. So
you've never seen it on a commercial facility pool, a public pool.
Yeah. But I mean, I hadn't been doing this stuff full time in the last 10-ish years. So I'm sure there's a lot that's changed in that time frame.
If you find yourself in a position where you're having to manually dose chemical into the pool, disinfectants and acid, that's probably not to code in your area. You probably are required to have some type of automation in place for the dosing of both those products. Now, if they don't, you know what? Sell it to them.
We're talking like HOAs too? That would be...
Depends on your health department.
Okay.
I can tell you in Florida, apartment complexes are covered by the health department code. In Georgia, they're not. So you really have to look at your individual health department code and see what the specifics are. And if you're unsure, ask your health official. That is the best person to go to for that information because they are the person in your area who checked those pools. And like I mentioned yesterday when we talked about the health department code, a lot of it is subjective. There's a lot of gray area that you need interpretation. Go to your health official, not somebody else. It's a lot better to just, you know, nip it in the bud. Spas have to have their own signs, their own pool rules signs for spas. It cannot be incorporated into the pool rules sign. It needs to be separate. If you have a spa, you're also supposed to have a clock visible from the spa. If you don't know if you have a clock, go stand at your spa, look around. If you can't tell what time it is, you need a clock. If you are a service company and you're taking care of these bodies of water, check to see that they have a spa rules sign. If they don't, sell them one. If they don't have a clock that you can see visibly from the spa, sell them one. They have to get it from somebody, and you can get those things through distribution. Hell, you'll even hang it on the wall and put the batteries in it and set the time. Amazon won't do that. Don't leave money on the table. Get them in the habit of coming to you for everything. That's the way that it should be. And for the facility, that makes it a lot easier. I know we have some GMs here, some people who run hotels. If your pool person told you what you needed, it's a lot better than you trying to figure it out or figure out the time to go out there and look around and determine what you need. if the pool person's going to bring it there and put it in place for you, isn't that better than ordering it online? And like I said yesterday, when you shop local, you have a better chance of the items you get meeting code than when you do it yourself online without a lot of research. I'm a huge proponent of small business and keeping money in your community.
The biggest part of that is those pool rule signs, because the state of Florida requires it to be so big and the lettering to be so big.
They do. Do you check the lettering size?
I don't anymore because I just tell them to send me the ones that have the licensing code on the bottom of it. And it's
okay.
Up the code. And I just, that's the ones that we put out. It's a little and bit larger specific sign, but.
Well, they have to be, the letters have to be 2 inches in height, except for where it says no lifeguard. That has to be 4 inches in height. But your health department code also tells you the exact verbiage that has to be on those signs. So if you do or get your sign from somebody local, it's going to be for that area. If you order online and grab a Georgia sign for somewhere in Florida, it's not going to meet code. It says different things. And you may want to check from time to time, too, because sometimes the verbiage that they want on these signs, it's updated. And that information is going to be in that health department code. And don't expect your health official to always catch it. Maybe you have one that's great that will. But maybe you have somebody who miss a line missing. Go ahead.
Our health department has became a lady now, so she doesn't miss anything.
Well, there you go. And that's a good thing. I mean, it's a double-edged sword. If you suck at what you're doing, it's bad. If the facility you're taking care of won't approve any POs, then it's bad. But realistically, it's a good thing if they know what they're doing, right? So
okay.
I don't want to have to teach. I don't want to argue with somebody because they did something wrong and I have to pay for it. Here are the people. I think people at risk in using a spa, to me, this looks like about 90% of the population. Pregnant women, elderly, children, people with heart disease, people with high blood pressure, people under the influence of drugs or alcohol, users of prescription medication. That's everybody, isn't it? Almost.
Okay.
It's a huge part of the country, that's for sure. I can give you these numbers based off of an example, but it would be easier to come up with your pools. So I want you to think about your pool and how much water is in it. If you're a service professional, I want you to think about the biggest pool that you maintain gallonage wise for this example. And what I want you to do is take the gallonage of, again, either your pool or if you're a service professional, the largest pool that you take care of. And I want you to divide that number by 200 and then just write down what you come up with. We're going to save it. We're going to come back to it in a minute. So whatever that gallonage is, divide it by 200, write the number down. You got it? If you have a 1,200-gallon spa, you have a 1,200-gallon spa and you see six people in it, that's normal. We call that normal. There's probably even six seats in it. If you've ever been on a cruise ship, you know you can fit more than six people in a 1,200-gallon spa. It's like a clown car. They just keep getting out and getting out. I don't know how they fit in there. Six people in a 1,200-gallon spa is one person to every 200 gallons of water. So, Jeff, in your pool, what number did you come up with?
I think I got 250.
250. So six people in a 1,200-gallon spa, we call that normal. That's the exact equivalent to 250 people in your pool all at once.
Yeah.
Tiffany, what'd you get?
So I don't have a pool, but Jody come up with 330.
Ooh. Jody, imagine rolling up on that pool on your route, on your normal day to go there, and you see 330 people in that pool all at once.
That's my last day there.
Heather, what do you got?
I don't do weeklies though.
You build pools. Give me a big one.
So my biggest one would, if I take that and divide that, so I'd be, let's see, the one I've got right now. She's the one I got right now. She's at 40. So
40 people?
Yeah.
So 40 people all in at once. It's still a lot for the pool size, right? The people to water ratio is absolutely ridiculous, but in a spa, we call it normal. That's the abuse the water goes under. That's why spas are so challenging to maintain. Small body of water, you heat it, you shove as many people in it as you possibly can. And guess what? I'm just going to throw this out there. But do you all remember that trick that y'all used to do when you were kids? If somebody fell asleep, you'd put their fingers in a little bit of glass of warm water, and what would happen?
Hey.
So what do you think happens? What do you think happens to a person when they get into 104 degree water? How long do you think it takes before they get that urge? And then if you're looking at this spa when they get in, do you see them jump out and run to the restrooms? I'm just going to throw this out there, but do you all remember that trick that y'all used to do when you were kids? If somebody fell asleep, you'd put their fingers in a little bit of glass of warm water, and what would happen?
Hey.
So what do you think happens? What do you think happens to a person when they get into 104 degree water? How long do you think it takes before they get that urge? And then if you're looking at this spa when they get in, do you see them jump out and run to the restrooms?
No.
No. No. They're pissing on everybody in there. Seriously. You know you gotta pee when you get in warm water. Don't lie. Look, we talked about Legionella. Legionnaire's disease, first reported case, members of the American Legion Hall celebrating the nation's bicentennial in Philadelphia. They all got ill. A lot of them died. It was due to the AC units in the facility. It's scary stuff, but you know what? Legionella is easily destroyed. Easily destroyed with a chlorine level of 1 part per million and a pH of 7.5 or lower. The problem is maintaining that chlorine level when we're doing everything we do to that body of water.
Yeah, I heard air conditioner in 1776. I was trying to figure that one out.
1976.
That makes slightly more sense.
I could see the confusion. Yeah. All right. Well, we talked about the chemistry a little bit. We know it's challenging there. Total dissolved solids. You know, we spoke about total dissolved solids when we were looking at the swimming pools, and I told you that you needed to replace water whenever the TDS level increased by 1,500 parts per million over what you started with. The same thing holds true for a spa. Now, in a swimming pool, it could take years before the total dissolved solids level builds 1,500 parts per million over what you started with. So you don't necessarily need to own a meter if you only have a swimming pool. You could take a sample to the pool store a couple of times a year, have them test it. Look at the numbers. If you're good, you're good. But a spa can change in the matter of days. So if you maintain a spa, then yes, you should own a TDS meter. And that's how we determine how often we drain a spa whenever the TDS increases by 1,500 parts per million. Calcium hardness level, we want to keep a little bit lower for the ideal range in a spa. Does anybody know why?
So it doesn't scale so bad.
And it would scale so bad because we're heating the water and calcium dissolves better in cool water. We're also increasing the pH, which is throwing the saturation index out of whack towards scale forming. So you're absolutely correct. So we want an ideal level in a spa of 150 to 250 instead of 200 to 400. We spoke about both chlorine and bromine. We have our challenges here. Bromine doesn't gas off at high temps like chlorine does. Bromine is still an effective sanitizer at a high pH, where chlorine is not. It makes it sound like bromine would be the all-around better chemical for a spa, no matter what. But the problem with bromine, when it's exposed to UV rays, it forms a harmful disinfection byproduct known as bromate. So we don't really want to use bromine in an outdoor body of water. We also don't want to use bromine in a pool that has UV, ozone, or a salt cell, because electrolysis will also form bromate, and it's a carcinogen, so we want to stay away from that. So indoor pool with none of the extras, bromine's perfectly fine, 4 to 6 parts per million. It's easy to remember the ideal range for bromine at 4 to 6 parts per million, because if it's an indoor spa, we also know that we need an air handling system that can overturn the air in that room. Replace 100% of it 4 to 6 times an hour with fresh air from outside.
They're very
so 4 to 6 parts per million for bromine. Say again?
Sorry, I was just going to say they're very expensive to replace, and we're in the process of replacing one right now. But yeah.
They are super expensive. What's the price tag up there?
Over 6 figures, I would say.
But it's easy to remember, again, 4 to 6 air exchanges an hour, 4 to 6 parts per million for bromine. So if you get confused on one or the other, just stick with 4 to 6 if you're dealing with that. If you're dealing with chlorine, 3 to 5 parts per million is what we're looking for. Just keep in mind, again, going to be hard to keep that chlorine level in that body of water. It's easy to overdose a spa, not overdose in a spa, but overdose a spa. You're dealing with tiny, tiny measures that make big changes in a little bit of water. It's not uncommon to see somebody's going through a yo-yo effect where they add something to correct the pH because it's too low. Now it's too high. They add something to drop it. Now it's too low again. And they constantly miss the mark. This is where automation is key, especially when you're dealing with these small bodies of water. And again, like we mentioned, whenever the TDS increases 1,500 parts per million over what you started with, that's when you drain and refill these.
Okay, pool dudes and pool dudettes, that's our show for this week, for this Thursday. Tune in next week, another CPO Thursday show. But don't forget to listen to all the shows we have in between, because we have a lot of great shows on Talking Pools podcast. We have Tuesdays with Kelly and Dan, Hump Days with Heather, and then, of course, the Friday episode with Andrea and myself. Check them all out. I do have a little bit of bad news. If you enjoy CPO Thursdays, you know that this was a limited series that we are doing on Thursdays. We have one more episode left if you've been following along. So make sure that you do tune in next Thursday and catch the finale of our CPO Thursdays broadcast. I'm sad to see it go, but we've pretty much gone through almost everything. Like we said, that's how limited series run. So again, not to worry, you still have us on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And we have a special surprise coming up. We're going to be doing something new on Mondays. that I think you're going to really find interesting. And we're going to try it out. And if you like it, it's going to be part of the regular program and ongoing. It's out of the box. It's going to be really, really different. But look for that coming soon. All right, guys, gals, I appreciate you. If you like the show, click subscribe. Leave a review. Tell a friend about it. Share. All of those things. That helps us to get more information to you. We appreciate you. Until next time, be good. Be safe. I just wanted to take a minute to say thank you for listening today. I'm hoping you enjoyed the episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together for you. Listen, it's been a couple of wacky, crazy, screwed up years from pandemic to Poolmageddon. I just want you to know that we are all in this together. If there's anything that we can do for you, send me an email at talkingpools@gmail.com. Again, that's talkingpools@gmail.com. We're here. This is your podcast. We are the Pool People's Podcast, of the Pool People, for the Pool People, by the Pool People's Podcast. This one is about you. So thank you for tuning in and listening. Do me a favor, click subscribe before you go. That way you don't miss an episode.